You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello, and welcome to the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. My name is Paul, and with me today are Dan and Sean. No Casey, because we are talking about Babylon 5, and she doesn't know, understand, or even remember or have seen Babylon 5, because it was before she was born. So she decided to sit this one out. So it's just me and the boys. Now this was a recording we made for the Epsilon 3 podcast. You can hear exactly the same show if you go to the Epsilon 3 episode 118. But we didn't want the Cosmic Pizza podcast listeners to miss out, so we decided to add it to this feed as well. If you've already heard it, then by all means skip this episode and go to the next one, which should be Casey's favourite TV shows from her childhood, which should be coming out around about the 1st of May. In the meantime, enjoy our review of the Season 5 of Babylon 5. Hello, Cosmic Pizza Podcast, the show of all sorts that sorts all by serving up a slice of life. What is your order, please? I see. The special it is. We'll be there to deliver ASAP. Pizza Podcast, special delivery. I don't even know what. How do I even start this show now? I'm knackered without a script.
This week, the season review.
There you go. This week, no episode, no season. It's season 5, episode review. So, guys, what did we think of this episode?
Well, the one we're about to record, or...
I think it's going well so far.
So far, so good.
It's weird not having a script. I mean, what did we think of this season? What were your overall thoughts of the season? How did you think it flowed?
It was shit. Can I say shit on the podcast? Because it was shit.
We can now.
But, Sean, that isn't backed up by your ratings.
I know. There was my favorite episode of the entire series is in season 5. Like I told Dan way, way, way back in the day, season 5 sucks. At least the first half really does. All that telepath junk is garbage. And then the rest of the season is very uneven. So I think season 1 is actually better than season 5. Seasons 2, 3, and 4 are really all you need to watch. And the biggest takeaway from watching Babylon 5 critically is that I would rather watch a show uncritically because then I can enjoy it more.
So we will be doing a show in right at the end of our run where we will be discussing every season, seeing how we rated seasons over time and etc. Really today we're just focusing on season 5, but we'll come to those ratings in a minute. But I am chuckling because I have actually seen something quite funny in the ratings. So Sean, you rated season 4 at 3.9. You've rated this season at 3.52. So yeah,
it goes down. It's not like as a bell good. Curve.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. However, season 1, did you say that was better than this season?
Probably not according to the ratings.
But... Not according to the ratings, no, because you rated it at 3.44 and this is 3.52.
Well, see, that's because Day of the Dead's in this one.
So you reckon that 5 pushes it up. You also have a 4.75 in there as well, which I must admit those are the only two that really are sort of over 4.5 or even 4. But yes, a lot of your ratings are a lot lower than that. I mean, if we take that out, it jumps up to a 3.45, so it's not... Yeah, it does make a bit of a difference. So, Dan, what did
What did you think of the run of the season five that you've, do you say even you can't remember or have never seen before?
Can't remember it. Don't remember watching any of this. There were no episodes where I was like, oh, I can't remember. No, nothing. It was a complete like new series, everything to come in, nothing prepared. Yeah, it's shit. I should have just listened to Sean, and we should have just done this at the very beginning and just, you know, just watched the whole thing in a bulk and then just comment on it. Because, I don't know, it's so infuriating. It built on such great season arcs and interesting plots and shadows and Vorlons and timey-wiminess and political stuff, and it just says, no, I'm not doing any of that now. We're gonna talk about some guy with long hair called Byron, who apparently is important. And oh my god, there was so much they could have done. And
oh crap, you mean I have to write another season? We're not canceled after four? Oh no.
And that's just it comes across, it really comes across as someone who hasn't watched it before. It really does feel like that kind of season. It's like, oh crap, I wrote all of this out and now I've got to go back to all my notes. And he's digging through a pile, like JMS has just got the box of like unused ideas and he's pulling it out like tissue paper. It's like, oh, what was I going to do with him? Oh, forget him. Talon, oh god, I completely forgot about him. Let's write him in. And it's just,
how do we bring Marcus back?
Cock. If they'd done that in Day of the Dead, that would have really been good. That I think that would have been completely pushed it. Ivanova needed to be here at least in a cameo, at least one episode. Mm-hmm. There are so many things that should have happened that didn't happen. But there are season highs. There are great episodes like Day of the Dead. There are great episodes like The Fall of Centauri Prime. Things that push it up and probably break the bell curve of whatever our stats are looking like this season. But no, it's bad. It's really, really bad.
It's like three seasons in one.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that Dan has made an even bigger mistake than Sean, because season one for Dan, where are we? It's 3.21. Season two is 3.17, which is lower than the first season. And then we get to this at 3.42. It's markedly better than season one and season two. Oh, I mean, dear.
It's got competent episodes. It does have competent episodes. So it's the one thing going for it over season one is that they knew who the characters were, so they could write to that. That's it. That's all it's got going for it. The fact that it had four other seasons to kind of buy the good nature, the goodwill to watch this season. If it didn't have that, if this was the first season and it's some way of setting up, if this were season one and I had to watch another 4 years with the new crew, not just based on this season, I don't think I would. But because we had four seasons, I watched season five. So that could be the reason for it as well. Digging myself out the hole.
Yeah. So my season one was 3.59, which was higher than you guys by quite a margin. Because I enjoyed season one. It was a fun, lighthearted, in some respects, episodes. 3.52 for season two. Because it got got into it a bit more. It's a bit more serious. So when we come to the final season, 3.44. Because it is worse than the first and second seasons. So my numbers are correct. But this season has almost been like an episode. It starts off, oh God, not the telepaths. We've still got Byron. It's boring. Can we get past this war? We've had a war already. Let's not have another one. This isn't Star Wars. This isn't Babylon 5, where they're constantly wars. It's better than that. Let's have something more meaningful. So we get through the dross. We have a little a view from a gallery. We have a little peek there, and then we drop into some of the most dire episodes we've watched. All three of us putting it into bottom 20, and even the worst episode of Strange Relations, worst episode of all time, of all seasons, is in this season. Then we sort of start to pick up. We drop a bit. Then we really climb up a bit more. We start to get better with Day of the Dead and the one before that, The Ragged Edge. Then we have a horrible one, The Chorus Mother, The Chorus Father. And then from then, it sort of climbs to a climax at the end where it gets better and better. And then the last three, I think, were really, really good because, well, last four or even five, according to me, were really good because we started to get a three-story arc to finish off the season with people leaving and how they left and saying goodbye and all the memories of that. We have the fall of Centauri Prime, which Dan mentioned, which happens to be my favourite episode of this season. Dan's favourite being Movements of Fire and Shadow, which was the episode before that. And Sean's obviously Day of the Dead. Strange Relations was that horrible worst episode, which we all rated well below 1.75, even 1.25.
What happened in it again? I don't remember.
Strange Relations was the command crew are put in a difficult position when the unit of Psycops, led by Bester, comes to the station to arrest a colony of telepaths.
Oh, yes.
So, yes, Psycops and telepaths. That's why it's so bad. But also, Dan equaled his worst episode of Strange Relations with Secrets of the Soul. Secrets of the Soul. Lita and Byron become closer. Well, say no more. That's just...
Ugh. Yeah, enough said.
Franklin with the Hayek race. So, yeah, it's... yeah, it finished off strongly, I think, is the way to do it. But if that was a typical episode, you know, you have bad bits, you have good bits. This season had... a lot of bad bits, and they were really bad. But then they did have some good bits that were really good. Who knew that Sean's best and worst episode would be in season five?
Surprise!
And who knew that Sean would actually rate season five higher than me and Dan?
That's craziness.
So
the characters that we get as replacements. They just don't have the same kind of joie de vie or whatever you might call it. They're there. Like Dr. Hobbs taking over for Dr. Franklin. Don't care. Talon, he's no Jakar. Zach, he's fine, but he's no season 1, 2, and 3 Garibaldi. And Lockley, she's got nice eyes, but she's no Ivanova, that's for sure.
I think Veer, though,
the strongest.
Yeah, I think Veer is good, and I think Lockley, like I say, if she was given a proper serious role,
yes,
what's the word I'm looking for? Major role, which she would have got. Then I think she would have been okay. She would have warmed into it, and I think she had some good points. She wasn't a hard nosed. She was a hard nosed captain, but she didn't show a lot of it. She did have that sort of side, you know, caring side to her. So I think she would have made a good captain. Veer would have been good. It would have been some good comedy in there, I think.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. I would have missed the bits with Linnea, though, before Linnea obviously went off and they wrote him off badly. Number one, it wouldn't. But other than that, competent. I think, again, she may have warmed into it a bit more or have been at least a strict Garibaldi style rather than, you know, a soft touch or whatever. There's a reason why these were secondary characters and not the main cast. That's because they couldn't take a show like what's his name? Sheridan. Give me his real name.
Oh, Bruce Boxleitner.
Bruce Boxleitner. Thank you. He was definitely a lead actor all the way through that, and Mira Furlan, I think, became a very good actress as time went by. I think she started off maybe in a role that wasn't going to be a lead, but then as soon as she got it, she ran with it. So yeah, rightly so that they became, you know, the main two, to, you know, at the end of the season, at the end of the series. But I think I feel badly the way Garibaldi was written. He was so good in the first couple of seasons and had so much potential, and then they just put him on a path that just led to nowhere, really.
It was awful. But you know what's not awful? This promo for another podcast right here on the ESO Network.
Helm report.
Sir, there's Klingons on the starboard bow.
Starboard bow?
Starboard bow!
What are they doing there?
They seem to be waiting for the new episode of Earth Station Trek.
Science, what do we know about this Earth Station Trek?
It's a podcast that treks through the history of Star Trek, from the early days on NBC to the future on Paramount Plus and everywhere in between.
Navigation, how would one find such a podcast?
By setting coordinates for earthstationtrek.com or by doing a sensor sweep of Spotify, iTunes, or any other quadrant where fine podcasts are available.
Captain, what are we going to do about the Klingons?
We come in peace, Commander. Weapon station, shoot to kill.
Shoot to kill!
Shoot to kill!
When Garibaldi was working for himself as a private eye, we didn't get enough of that.
He had the ability there to go and find out things that he couldn't do on the station.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't really showcase that.
No, they didn't.
And then in season 5, he was just kind of there, just being drunk again, Uncle Mike.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that went on too long. I mean, we'd already seen it. And I know in some respects that you don't go like off the wagon for a couple of episodes and come back again. Hey, we've done that bit, now let's move on. Mm-hmm. It will take time. But it took too long to find out. I would like then to see the recuperation, the better sort of side of that, rather than the last couple of episodes where he's cleaned himself up and then we assume he goes on to be a better person. Live happily ever after type of thing.
When we saw him being the private eye, it would have been nice to have had a callback that those people that he helped were his network, that work solidified something in season 5, so that when he fell off the wagon, when he then moves back to Mars, he then starts calling in all these people that he helped over the last year and a half. And that is his way of getting back at Bester, is that he actually becomes more and more powerful because it gave him the opportunity to be a better person. And that, you know, the psychic block that was put in, that was his subconscious way of breaking it, is by just becoming more connected, more powerful, and able to stop whatever the Psychor is going to do, because he can't physically hurt him and all that sort of stuff. So it just felt like that was what was missing, that a point to what he was going through, as opposed to just seeing the man fall and his friends not notice for a long time. It's too long a time. They needed, like you say, the redemption, but they needed to show that there was something that he could claw back for himself, I think. And it just wasn't satisfying.
Yeah, that's right. And I think Lita was given a bit of a short shrift as well. She was...
Her character was all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, one minute she's looking for a job, next minute she's got a job, and then she doesn't want the job. And it's just, what are you doing? And then she's helping the terrorists on Mars or whatever, and it's just, what's going on here? Where did she sort of... I can understand it when they say, what do you think has made her pissed? And then they list this long list of things. She was a weapon, she was working for the Vorlons, and nobody liked her because she was a telepath, and worked for the Psychor. I thought, well, yeah, okay, all of that. So it's not a good way for that character to go, I do that thing. Well, certainly, I think the actress was perfect. She was not absolutely nothing wrong with her acting. A big fan of hers, I must admit. Not a good way for the character to go. So who else have we missed out?
Helia Winters.
Ooh, yeah.
Although she wasn't in season 5, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, Peter Jurassic, surely. I mean, his
Londo, yes.
I mean, the two of them, actually, Peter Jurassic and Andreas Katsoulis, that was the unbeatable. Whenever they were in the episode, that's what brought up season 5.
Oh, yes.
You were looking forward to those moments. Their whole shtick when they were on Centauri Prime, we needed more of that as well. Mm. We needed more of Garibaldi doing what he does and more of what they did together. And that view from a gallery when they make the line, how long have they been married? It yes. worked. It was such a great line and it stuck with me because they are perfect together. The two actors just worked so perfectly. We needed more of that. And it's the reason why season 5 wasn't as good, is that they didn't have enough of it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that needed more. It needed more. It was, like you say, when you see them, when Shigar's his bodyguard and they're on Centauri Prime, there was his one-liners, his put-downs of the Centauri hierarchy was just amazing. He was quite happy just to sit there and be a presence that made them uncomfortable and just tell them what he thought of them and get away with it because he's the Prime Minister's bodyguard or the Emperor's bodyguard.
You know what? That would have been a great half-hour sitcom the Emperor's bodyguard. It could have been between seasons 3 and 4, when they're on Centauri Prime, or wherever you could fit it, wherever you wanted, and it was just them, two of those actors on a half-hour show.
Yes,
in the summertime between seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a whole spin-off there. I mean, there's a number of spin-offs we've mentioned as we've gone through the series.
Yeah, like 5 or 6 different shows could have come out of
exactly.
There.
I mean, the political machinations of Centauri Prime would have been a good one, with people getting bumped off, and then Shakar being there and winding people up, and the sort of after the war, what do we do now? It was ripe for a little spin-off there.
Absolutely. Speaking of spin-offs, though, the most important one being Norman Drazi and Ladder. I think those are the key two that I think we've been overlooking this season. I think the fact that we've got things like, mentioning Ladder and Norman Drazi, we were so willing to talk about other stuff than what actually happened in the episode this season. That, for me, encapsulates my feelings.
That's a sign right there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anything but talking about the season itself.
Yeah, that's a shame.
A bit uneven.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, let's go with that.
A touch. Smidgen.
Mm. Yeah, ups and downs, good points and bad points.
All good episode titles. They would have been great.
Mm.
It would have made sense. Ups and downs.
That's the latter episode.
Oh, and if they could have had Ladder come in, there could have been snakes all over the floor, snakes on the station. What an episode that would have been. Ladder comes in.
Have to be snakes. I hate snakes.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Ladder comes in, starts slipping all over the snakes, and ends up on the floor.
That's crazy.
I had to watch that over another telepath episode.
Yeah, I think that really sums it up, doesn't it? We would rather watch anything than most of these episodes.
Most of season 5,
Although
The stats say,
I'm still looking at a lot of high numbers here. I mean, it's not all bad.
No wonder Crusade didn't have a chance.
That's right. It's just that when it is bad, it is really bad. I mean, there's 4 episodes here I've rated as 2, and 3 of them are the same for what we've done. We've all done that. Sort of 2.25,
which is weird. Just thinking that Crusade came out of this, or Crusade was the next thing to come, in that there were so many opportunities to spin off shows from things they set up, but they went with something that was completely not set up. Like, as far as I'm aware from the little blurb that I've seen of the show, because I haven't watched Crusade either, there's very little from this show that carries over, other than I think it's the Telepath War is the only sort of setting for it, and then that's it.
I remember there was mages involved because I've only seen like 4 episodes. I've never been able to make it past that, but now I have a reason to watch it.
Yeah,
podcast.
I've seen the whole thing, but I can't remember it. I remember seeing an actor and going, "Oh, I like him," and he would actually just been in something that I've watched. And I can't remember what it is. We will get to it when we get to it.
I just remember there's a bald-headed mage with a weird voice. And this ship is called the Excalibur, and there's some actor that has been somewhere else. And he's Gary Graham or Gary Gray or something. Gary Cole.
Yes.
Gary Cole.
Gary Cole.
Gary Cole.
Yes. Gary Cole, and there's an Asian actor in it as well, which I can't.
I think it's Daniel Day Kim, isn't it?
Yeah, Daniel Day Kim. Yeah. He was in. It's not Timeless. What's the episode in a Voyager?
The one where the blink of an eye. The wink of an eye.
Blink of an eye.
Voyager episode.
He was also in something else as well. Which
Lost.
Lost, yes.
I love that guy. He's a great actor.
He is a good actor. Mm. I was really pleased when I saw him in it. And Gary Cole as well. But anyway, we're jumping ahead. What are we doing next? Well, what we are doing next week is the River of Souls TNT TV movie. And then after that, we do Legends of the Rangers, Sci-Fi Channel TV movie. And then we go on to A Call to Arms, which is another TNT TV movie. Then we get into the first episode, of Crusade. Now, because we're watching the watch order of JMS, well, of course, we don't start with episode 1. We start with something like episode 13 or 12 or 8 or something. It's really well down the list before of episodes that we start at. But I will let you know what we're doing. And again, if anybody's listening to this, you do not have to listen to it in the episodes that we do it in. If you're fortunate to be listening to this in a few years' time, you can listen to any of these in any order you like. You will be able to see what episodes they are by the title on the logo of the podcast as we put them out. So keep an eye on that. But in the meantime, go on.
Just like the Minbari, we don't have a word for goodbye, but our souls will see your souls on the next episode of the Epsilon 3.
You calling our souls?
It was shit.
Well, you rated it high in season one and you had the highest rating out of us two. I didn't think it was all bad. Pretty average, really, but...
Yeah. It would have been, if we were re-rating the season, I think it would have been a slap bang in the middle, 2.5. Like, there's enough good in there, but it's not enough to save it.
We've been your deliverers today. Please leave a tip at the door by subscribing for future deliveries. Rate and review our service, and we hope you come back for more helpings next time. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and TikTok by searching for the Cosmic Pizza Podcast. If you'd like to send us an MP3 file, you can email us on cosmicpizzapodcast@gmail.com, and we'll catch you on the next episode of the Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.